Stay with Batrang, the evil one, and you're all dead meat. Come and dig nice graves with me, mate.
Batrang paused with his paw on the longhouse door. Staring out into the gathering gloom, he called aloud.
Stay clear of me, you crazy old coot, or I'll let daylight through your hide. Do you hear me? Ye can't see me, cause I'm invisible. I got a nice dark hole waiting for ye, evil one.
The captains hurried inside as Batrang slammed the door. The upturned wheelbarrow over a freshly dug grave moved. Clog peered out from under it.
I'm half a stoat and half a mole, and I'll bury yous all in a nice deep hole. Down, down, where it's still and cold, and you never live to get old.
Every fighter had been fed. No fires glowed in the still summer night. It was warm and heavy. Martin sat awake with Rose as the camp lay in slumber. The Mouse Maid stared up at the stars, which twinkled with pale fires in the midnight heavens.
Strange, isn't it, Martin? The same stars that shine on this terrible place with all its death and war, those same stars are shining over Noonvale, where all is at peace and war has never been. What are you thinking of, warrior?
Martin smiled, nodding at the sight of Grum, his small fat stomach rising and falling gently.
I wasn't thinking of anything, Rose. I was just watching Grum, flat out and snoozing, with his ladle clutched in both paws.
The Mouse Maid relieved the sleeping mole of his ladle, placing it close to his side where he would find it on waking.
He's the most friendly and loyal mole any beast could wish to know. Grum has always looked out for me, ever since I was a tiny mouse babe in Noonvale. When we go back there, you'll make lots of friends among our moles. You're a hero to them.
Me? A hero? What for?
For bringing down that great dead sycamore. They've been at it for seasons on and off without much success. Then you came along and in a single day it was uprooted and fallen.
The young mouse passed her a cloak Trung had given him.
You look tired, Rose. Better get some rest. Go on. I'm not sleepy. I'll sit here, close by.
Rose draped the cloak lightly about her and she was soon asleep. Martin sat up, thinking of many things as he felt the night hours slip slowly by.
Chapter 42.
Balor was wakened by a shake from Martin. It was still dark, though the night was on the wane.
Come on, it's time.
The camp was stirring quietly into life. Grum had taken off with Palom and Rose and a lot of others. They travelled in a wide semicircle round to the back walls of Marshank. Baldred and the warden stood ready, the big kelp net clutched tight between them. Queen Amballa and her pygmy shrews grouped with the big hedgehogs on one side, while Starwort and his otters mingled with the Gore tribe squirrels. Martin, Balor and Roanoke inspected the cart. It was flimsy in the extreme and wobbly on its wheels, piled high with grass, driftwood and brush. Buckler patted it fondly.
"Rrr, she'll do a girt last run, or you'll stake my name on it."
Amballa raised her paw to Gulber, and their joint forces moved off. Starwort gave the squirrels a stern nod to set them on the way. Now there were only 50 archers under Martin's command left in camp. At his signal, Buckler set flint to tinder and Roanoke braced herself in the fire-blackened shafts.
"Nearly curtain time, chaps. Here we go."
Gruzzle was dreaming. In his dream, he was back on board his old ship. Someone had lit a fire on the deck and creatures were dancing around it, shouting. The sea rat felt drowsily happy. He wanted to join in with them and dance around the flickering flames. He moaned luxuriously and shifted. Slipping off his spear handle, Gruzzle cracked his chin hard on the battlement, thrusting him into wakefulness and horrifying reality. The blazing car plunged madly over the shore towards the fortress gates.
"Out! Well, you can't do that! Fire! Fire! Help!"
In seconds, all was chaos and mad confusion. Most of the soldiers on the wall tops were sound asleep. They came awake, tripping and bumping into each other. The longhouse door flew open and Batrang dashed out with his captain stumbling behind. Hearing the shouts and seeing the bright glow against the darkness, the tyrant drew his sword and yelled mightily,
"Front wall! The gates! Hurry!"
He raced up the wall ladder with Clog's voice ringing over the alarm shouts.
"Ha ha! 'Tis the ghost of me burnt ship! Come back to take revenge on ye, evil one! You should have listened to me, Batrang!"
The heat of the roaring conflagration scorched Roanoke's cheeks as she pushed the blazing cart along. Martin and the others ran after her, having been driven from the sides of the cart by the searing flames. At a sharp shout from Roanoke, they halted, notching arrows to the bows. The badger continued running with the cart, putting her every last ounce of strength into the act. She gave one mighty final push and fell flat. Crackling and hissing with tails of flame like a massive comet, the cart careered madly into the gates of Marshank. Whoom! Crumph! It struck the gates, blossoming like a monstrous fiery flower, as the whole thing burst on the timbers, sending showers and cascades of angry red sparks upwards in a mushroom of smoke. Balor already had the archers in three lines. He was in his element, ears quivering as he rapped out smart commands.
First rank! Shoot and drop!
A volley of shafts hissed through the night.
First rank! Reload! Second rank! Shoot and drop!
Another hail of death followed in the wake of the first.
Second rank! Reload! Third rank! Shoot and drop! Ready, first rank!
Unable to see because of the bright light burning in their eyes, the wall-topped troops were hit hard. Amid it all, Badrang was knocking the bows from fighters' paws.
Slopheads! Never mind shooting arrows! The ghouls are burning! Get sand! Get water! Put that blaze out!
He grabbed hold of Rotnose.
Do you hear me, muckiers? Put the
The weasel slumped forward with a barbed arrow in his skull. Bowles was under warden released the net. It fell accurately, draping one end over three battlements, while the rest of it trailed down the wall. Queen Ambala gave it a quick tug to make sure it was secure.
Obis Gullow!
Gulbert and Trung were alongside her as the net suddenly became alive with hedgehogs and pygmy shrews. 10 Gore tribe squirrels had made it to the top of the south wall. 6 stood by on the narrow catwalk, fighting off horde beasts, as the other 4 let down ropes with sticks tied across them, ladder fashion. Starwart wound his sling about his waist and grabbed one of the ropes.
Come on, mates, just like climbing up the rigging.
Grum and the moles waited until they heard the screams and shouts of combat on the other side of the wall.
Right, molers, show 'em how to go a-tunneling.
Powerful digging claws tore at rock, sand, earth and grass as the hole began to sink deep and wide. Palam stood close to Rose.
I never was in a war. Is it always this complicated?
Rose shrugged as she twirled a sling.
Your guess is as good as mine, Palam. I was never in one either.
Standing on the darkened beach, Martin could see the confused figures in the light of the gates. He fired off his arrow, seeing a sea rat fall with it in his throat as Balor bade his rank drop and reload their bows. The fire cart had done its work well. Despite copious doses of sand and inaccurately thrown water, the flames licked hungrily up the woodwork, eating into the timber until they were well established. Roanoke came crawling, belly down across the sand to Martin and Balor, joining them in time to see a ferret on the wall top beating wildly at his burning cloak.
One badger reporting back. Mission successful. What's next?
Martin cast aside the bow and drew his sword.
I'm going round to climb that net on the north wall.
Balor and the others went with him. Roanoke heaved a sigh and sat down with a bow and arrow.
Whew, I'll stop here and practice my archery. I could have climbed that net, though, when I was younger and slimmer.
The burning gate was a lost cause. Badrang sent a platoon of long pikes to stand in the courtyard and repel any beast that tried to gain entrance once the gates fell. Dividing his wall troops into two groups, he gave charge of the north wall to Crosstooth and the south to Fleabane. Dashing down from the walls, he ran into the longhouse. For the first time in his life, the tyrant felt the icy claws of terror grip him. With an awful certainty, he knew he was defeated. Marshank would fall. He stifled a sob of fear in his throat as he looked around frantically. What to do? He was trapped inside his own fortress, surrounded by a determined horde of fighters. Some of them had been slaves of his, slaves that he had starved, beaten and ill-treated. His paws began to shake. Suppose he was captured by those same slaves? Striving desperately not to think what they would do to him, he climbed out of the back window of the longhouse. He was facing the north wall, and the sounds of fighting above him were loud and furious. Badrang looked up. In the red glow from the blaze, he saw his troops being pressed back by a growing multitude of small shrews and large fearsome hedgehogs, bodies hurtled from the wall tops amid wild battle shouts and war cries. Suddenly, the tyrant's blood chilled. His mouth went dry with fright. There, illuminated in the light from the burning gates, stood a warrior on the battlements. Badrang recalled him in a flash. This was the one called Martin, the young mouse who had defied his authority, the one he had tied over the gate and imprisoned in the pit. The mouse warrior fought like 10 beasts, reckless of caution. He was everywhere at once, teeth bared, eyes glittering as he threw himself into the fray. Hugging the wall shadows, Badrang whimpered and ran for his life before he was seen and identified by the fearless Avenger. Starwort and Marigold left the savage Gortrab Squiddles to deal with the troops on the south wall, laughing crazily as they wielded their stone-headed axes against sword, spear and dagger. Heading their contingent of Broadstream fighters, the two otters descended the wall ladders to the courtyard. They charged straight into the platoon of pipe beasts who had been left to defend the burning gateway. With lightning agility, the otters were in under the pike shafts before the surprised foe had a chance to retaliate. Swinging stone-loaded slings, the fighting otters battered their enemies to the ground with startling speed. As the last one fell, there was a sagging and creaking of timbers, and the gates began caving slowly inwards.
Gangway, the doors are opening!
Marigold yelled out urgently. Otters scattered left, right and back as the gates buckled and groaned, collapsing inwards with a crash of dust, fire, smoke and sparks. Starwart picked himself up from where the scorching air had bowled him over.
Stand aside, mates! Badger coming through!
Roanoke came at full tilt, sand flying from her paws as she galloped straight at the inferno. With an ear-splitting roar, the big badger leaped over the fallen gates. It was an awesome sight. Sailing through the flames, she landed square on all four paws inside the courtyard. The otters crowded round her, beating out the smouldering patches on her fur.
There now, I wasn't as old as I thought.
Roanoke laughed, shoveling her paws to cool them on the ground.
Still life in the old stripes yet.